Right before we go into God's Word, I wanted to share with you just a little humor. I pull out some of these. Some maybe you've heard before, but some maybe have never heard them. They may sound a little corny, but it's my opportunity to share them. So these are why God made moms. Why God made moms. And these were answers that were given by second graders, okay? So keep that in mind. Second grade children to the following questions. Why did God make mothers? Listen to this. The second graders, they said, number one, she's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. Number two, why did God make mothers? Well, mostly to clean the house. Wow, okay. Number three, to help us out of there when we were getting born. Amen. All right. Somebody had to help them out. Had to be the mama. How did God make the mothers? How did God make moms? Here's one answer. He used dirt, just like the rest of us. Here's another one. Magic plus superpowers and a lot of stirring. How did God make mothers? Well, God made my mom just the same like he made me. He just used bigger parts. Okay. Here's another question. What ingredients are mothers made of? Well, God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and one dab of mean. What ingredients are mothers made of? Well, they had to get their start from men's bones. Well, got a point, right? And then they mostly use string, I think. Okay. Why did God give you your mother and not some other mom? Well, because we're related. Another one says, well, God knew she likes me a lot more than other people's moms like me. What kind of little girl was your mom? Here's the first one. My mom has always been my mom and none of that other stuff. What kind of little girl was your mom? I don't know because I wasn't there, but my guess would be pretty bossy. Pretty bossy. What kind of little girl was your mom? Well, they said she used to be nice. Okay. I'm going to stop right there. We thank the Lord for our mamas. And on this Mother's Day, I want to share with you a message about prayer. Because I want to encourage all of the mamas and all of us together. Let me tell you, this is a special day for all families. And the whole thing around Mother's Day, there's a lot of emotion. A lot of emotion. For my mom, it's kind of a difficult day. You know why? Because she never had a mom. She didn't have the privilege of having a mom. Her mom passed away when she was 2 years old. So my mom grew up an orphan. So Mother's Day has been tough for her all her life, you know. It brings up a lot of different emotions for all kinds of folks, different folks. But you know, I want to encourage you this morning, our God is the same. Our emotions may be different, but our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the important thing that we understand is that with all of us as moms, you know, our the babies, when they're born little, they begin to grow. And then we begin to understand, as you mamas begin to understand, it's not all happy moments. It's not all great. There are difficult times. There are bumps in the road. And that's a little bit of what I want to talk about this morning, about what do you do when you go through those bumps in the road? What do you do when you go through these difficult times? I know if I were to ask this morning, you know, we got some moms that are getting ready to be moms for the very first time. For the very first time. And that's cool. And then we got some other moms that are expecting babies and get ready to bring another baby. But I want to tell you, each mother will tell you it's the most beautiful experience to be a mom. Amen? Isn't that right, mothers? But what mother here can say that they've never been through a difficulty? What mother here can say they've never been through a trial? All right? But each mother can also share happy moments, joyous moments of things that have taken place. So the perspective I'm coming from is in regards to the Lord. Because the Lord is the one that helps the mamas to be the best mamas that can matter in a child's life. Amen? So here we're going to go. We're going to use this PowerPoint up here, and if you want to follow along with me, we're the title of the message, A Mother's Prayer for Her Children. I want to encourage mamas, never give up. I want to encourage mamas, keep praying, and always keep praying. I want to encourage mamas, the most important thing you can do is pray. I really mean that with all my heart. Why? Because without prayer, everything becomes helpless. Because our prayers are our connection with our God. I want to go to a special prayer from the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. And this is from the Message translation, okay? I like the Message. And in the Amplified, it's even a little bit longer. But look what it says here. And I'm using two different PowerPoint slides here to go through this passage. But the Apostle Paul, in his prayer, he's saying this. My response is to get down on my knees before the Father. Now let me stop there just for a moment. Mamas, keep doing that. Mamas and daddies and all of us together, when was the last time you got down on your knees before the Father? And I put myself there as well. But can I tell you, one of the best postures we can learn to continue to keep up is to bow our knees before the Father and to let Papa know again, you're my answer. It's interesting that in the Hebrew, the word mom is the word aim. Everybody say aim. Look at a mama and say aim. Aim. That's the Hebrew. Aim. Aim means the one that bonds the family. Bond is like glue, keeps the family together. She's the heart of the family, okay? So this one that begins to get down on my knees before the Father, my response is to this magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth, and I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit. Now here's the prayer, okay? I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him, with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives, full in the fullness of God. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah, in Jesus. Glory down all the generations. And glory through a millennia. Oh, yes. Father, we just thank you for your word again this morning. And Lord, we ask you, God, to bless the hearing and the receiving of your word. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. A prayer mom can always pray for her children. To be encouraged never to give up, but to keep praying. I bring it to you this morning in five simple points, and here's the first one. You might want to write it down. May the Lord strengthen you in the inner man by the Holy Spirit. This is a prayer that we need to pray for each one, and encouraging the Lord, strengthen them. Strengthen my son. Strengthen my daughter. Not talking about brute strength. Not talking about physical strength, but strength in the inner man. Scripture verses that I have for you today is in Psalms 46, verse 1, where the psalmist says, "The Lord is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in times of trouble." What kind of strength do we want our family to have? What kind of strength do we want our children to have? We want them to have the kind of strength that they even feel strong when they're going through trouble, when they're going through difficulty, when times get tough. That they know God is still God. But even in that same chapter, you also hear the words of the psalmist saying, "Be still and know that I am God." and how we need to learn that as well, to be still before the Lord. What kind of strength are we talking about this morning? It's a strength in the inner man by who? The Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you this morning, don't forget that the Holy Spirit is a person, all right? The Holy Spirit is real and He is a person. And so when I think about that inner strength that we're talking about, we need to be reminded of that personality and that character of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the kindness, the gentleness, the meekness, the temperance, the fruit of the Spirit, that it would be made manifest in our lives. Which fruit has the Lord been working on you this week? Can I tell you, this week, I've had a tough week. This has been one of the toughest weeks of my life. And it's been a spiritual battle. I saw a guy the other day, a fellow councilman, he came up to me and he just said, first thing he said, man, you look stressed out. You look stressed. And I told him, well, pray for me. But it's interesting how a person that knows you, they can look at you and they can tell if you've been going through something or not. True, right? And it's been a difficult week. You remember last week I told you we had 437 young people give their hearts to Jesus Christ throughout the week. Friday I met with 50 more kids that want to be disciples of the Lord. Can I remind you, mamas and dads, whenever you determine to do something for God and you see the Lord moving in your heart, get ready, because the devil is going to try to come and slam you. And you know what he'll pick? Your weakest points. He'll pick your weakest areas, where sometimes you'll take a fist in the gut that'll knock your wind out. How many of y'all have ever had your wind knocked out? I have. Where it brings you to your knees, but you got to get up once again, and you realize, I'm not going to let the devil do this. Inner strength. Inner strength that rises up within us. What fruit has the Lord been working on you lately? Do you know that when you have trouble loving people, then He's working on love? Do you know that when you're having trouble feeling the joy in you again, a difficult time with depression and sadness and hopelessness and despair, what do you think He's working on? He's working on joy. He wants to see joy stirred up in you. When you're having a difficult time that you can't sleep at night, when things are anxious for you, you have things going through your mind constantly, and it just doesn't stop, He's working on peace. When you're having a difficult time and it seems like you're being rude to everybody, has that ever happened to anyone here? That all of a sudden you wake up and here you're going about your day, and before you know it, you're catching yourself and you're being rude to everybody. Amen, somebody? Does that happen to anybody here? I see some waves. And it's true and it's real. And guess what the Lord's working on? He's working on kindness. Or along with being rough. Just being rough, rough with people, rough, and He's working on gentleness. We have to let the Lord work on us, and it's our inner strength, and He begins to move in us and do those things. Amen, somebody? What fruit has the Lord been working on you lately? It's a good question to ask, all right? And don't be afraid to ask it, and then just say, all right, Lord, help me, because I need that fruit to move in me. I want to feel joy again. I want to feel love again. I want to feel kindness again. And guess where it's going to come from? It's not going to come from you. It's going to come from Him. And it's going to come from the person of the Holy Spirit raising that emotion up inside of us again. It's certainly not going to be from this world. How many are all tired of hearing the news from this world? But it's the Lord that brings it up. That the next thing you know, you can feel a day of love. Feel a day of joy, and you think, I don't know why, but I just feel so good. I feel joyful, and it feels great. And then you look in the mirror, well, I guess I'm generating that today. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. Here's number two. So the first one, pray that for your kids. Lord, strengthen my son. Strengthen my daughter in the inner man by your Holy Spirit. Let them be strong in you. Here's the next one, number two. And may the Lord dwell in your heart. Now, that's a good one, okay? I love John chapter 15, verse 1, where Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I love that passage. I love the part in that chapter where it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That word abide means continually, but it's conditional. The word of God must abide inside of us. How important it is to pick up the scriptures every day and to get something from it, however you do it, and it's a discipline. But as you read it and you receive it, that you learn to abide in it, and it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. It's an indwelling of the heart. You know, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus was talking to believers. And I believe that I'm talking to a lot of believers here among us. And this is what he said to the church. He said to the church at Ephesus, he said, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to them and have supper with them. So along with this, may the Lord dwell in your heart, that we pray, Lord, let our sons, let our daughters, our family, let them continually open the door. Did you know that sometimes we can shut the door to the Lord? That's why that message that Jesus was given to the church, he was saying, I stand at the door and knock. Why should he have to stand at the door and knock at the door of the church? Because sometimes that door is shut. And we have to open the door. We have to be reminded to open the door. I'm amazed and so grateful for our schools. They're opening their doors again to the Lord. You remember in 63? Let's get prayer out. 1963, let's get the commandments out. Let's get the Bible out. But now they're opening the door again. And it's coming forth. Yesterday, Debbie and I had the privilege of visiting our Justice of the Peace right down the street. He had an open house yesterday over at 623 Galloway, North Galloway. And we went inside and we met him. We met the staff that they have here for the JP. I invited him to come in about three Sundays. He's going to come here and he's going to share his testimony. And as soon as he won that elected position, you know what he did? He went in there and he put on the wall in his courtroom, where they have all kind of cases come in big letters, In God We Trust. Somebody said, well, are you looking for lawsuits? Are you looking for trouble? Are you looking for... And he's saying, this is the motto of our nation. What do you mean, am I looking for trouble? Am I looking for a lawsuit? It's the motto of our nation. And then right there next to that, he has another beautiful frame with the Ten Commandments. And the same response to him. And he says, no, I'm not looking for trouble. This is the norm. This is the way it should be. That we open the door to the Lord. I want to encourage mamas. I want to encourage daddy. Open the door to the Lord. Encourage your children to open the door. Because he stands at the door. Every day he stands at the door. And you got to open it. And you got to say, come on in, Lord. May the Lord dwell. May the Lord abide in your heart. All right? Here's the next one, number three. So that's part of the prayer. Number one, strengthen my son. Strengthen my daughter. Strengthen the inner man. Strengthen them, Lord. Number two, and that you would dwell in their heart, the real person of who they are. Number three, and may you be rooted deeply. May you be rooted deeply in love and securely in love. To experience the power of his love, to experience the power of his love, and I love to do that. Even in those most difficult times, to hear that still small voice to tell me, I love you. I love you. And to know his love. Those two different things. Experience the power and to know his love. But notice what it says, may you be rooted. That we would pray that our children would be rooted in deeply in love and securely on love. The love of God, the love of Christ. I love that word rooted, and I'm going to tell you why. That rooted reminds you of a plant. When you study botany, plants, roots, it's an interesting thing to realize that those roots are there for three things. The root establishes the plant, stabilizes the plant, stabilizes it so it can grow. stabilizes it so it can grow. But not only that, but that root provides nutrients, right? Nutrients from the ground, nutrients from water, nutrients that will produce for that. But not only that, but the root also stores up. Three things. And he says, may you be rooted. How many of y'all want your kids to be rooted? I do. That's a prayer. Let our kids be rooted. That as they're growing, just like we prayed a moment ago, we were praying the word of God. Let them grow steadfast, upright, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that his work is not in vain. I want our kids to grow solid, not wishy-washy. I want our kids to grow firm, not going with whatever the trends are, but staying close to the word of God. Amen? And rooted, stabilized. You know, they say but a palm tree when it's growing, they say that the root of the palm tree goes 7 times the length of the height of the tree down into the ground. Can you imagine that? Well, it's no wonder when you see the palm trees down in the beaches of Galveston or down in the beaches, wherever they are, and when a hurricane comes, they can bend and bend and bend and bend and bend and bend, but they don't break. Why? Because their roots are so deeply down into the ground. They stabilize the plant. They bring nutrients to the plant and they store it up. This past week, and I can say a few weeks ago, we were out here really concerned about this plant that Carmen Bernal, her family, bless their hearts, and I was so grateful and so thankful. You know, they love their mama. Their mama would come every Sunday when she was a part of our church. She was an accountant. She was independent. She was a strong woman. She had been through several strokes, and she was coming faithfully to our church. And she couldn't talk very well, but she would talk the best way she could. How many of y'all remember Miss Carmen? Yeah, a lot of y'all. And when she went on to be with the Lord, her daughters came up and said, Pastor, would you allow us, can we plant a plant out here, out in the front, and put a little memorial sign here for our mother? And then they did that. They put it out there, and it's been out there, I guess, maybe for a couple of years. And a few weeks ago, I went out there, and the thing looked pathetic. I mean, it just looked sick. And it would be a beautiful thing when it would bloom and had its blossoms and everything, but now it was bare. A lot of us thought it was dead. We were going to break off the limbs and get rid of it or just pull it out. Man, why are we going to keep that thing there? Different people were telling me already, Pastor, we need to get rid of that. It doesn't look good there. You know, let's put something else. Call them up. Tell them let's put something else there. And I was just like, oh, man, I don't know. I just, you know, call them up and say, you remember that plant that you did as a memorial to your mom? It died. So we need to pull it out. And can we put another one on? You know, and I was thinking, all right, how are we going to do all this? And lo and behold, from the very center of it, and you see all these, it looked like dead limbs. It looked like a bush of dead limbs. And out of the very center of those dead limbs was a little bit of green growth coming up. And lo and behold, that plant is blooming again. What am I trying to tell you? It doesn't matter what things look like on the outside with the circumstances. It doesn't matter. There's some roots down deep in there. And those roots are meant to stabilize and bring nutrients and store up. You think about these pecan trees when they're out there, they're the last to bloom. Aren't they, Brother Chai? You see it that way? They're almost the last tree to bloom, and they're that way for several months. And then here they come again. They start blooming. Why? They've been storing up in the roots. Storing up. And we can pray for our children. May you be rooted deeply in love and securely in love. And then the writer Paul, he says that they might know the heights and the depths and the width and the length of the love of God. How many of y'all want to know more about the love of God? How many of y'all can say, it's cost me to learn more about the love of God, but I want to learn more? Amen, somebody? It's not all roses. It's not all happy. But you can say, it's cost me sometimes to learn more about the love of God. But through it all, he still loves me. He's right there for me. All right? Here's the next one. Number 4. And may you be filled with his presence, with God himself. Can I encourage you? How do we do that? We learn to wait on God. We learn to hope in God. And we learn to rest in God. Write it down. We learn to wait on God. You know when you're not waiting anymore? When you try to do it yourself. We learn to wait on God. To wait on God, it doesn't mean to do nothing. To wait on God means you keep doing what you know to do, but you're waiting on Him to move in the situation. It doesn't mean to do nothing. You learn to hope in God. When do you know you stop hoping in God? When you start giving up. But your hope is in God. How many of y'all have your hope and trust that you know He's coming back? I have no doubt. It's an assurance in my heart. I know He's coming back. Just like the Word says, at the sound of the trump of an archangel, the clouds will roll back and Jesus will descend. That's not a story. Just a story. That's a prophetic word. He's coming back. Hope in God. And then you learn to rest in God. How do you rest in God? Doesn't mean to do nothing. But again, resting in God means that you're not fighting Him. How many of y'all know when you're fighting God, you're not resting? But when you stop, have any of y'all had any battles with God? Fighting God? Can I tell you how that happens? When God wants you to do something and you don't want to do it, you're fighting Him. Have any of y'all ever experienced that? When God wants you to do something and you're fighting Him, or you just don't want to do it. I don't think I want to do that. And you know, when we don't do it, when He says to do it, we need to follow through with obedience. But when we don't do it, what do you call that? Yeah, and what do you call disobedience? And what do you call rebellion? I'm going to get you to say sin one time. But that's what it is. That's what it is. And we have to walk in obedience to the Lord. All right? We learn to rest in Him. That we learn to move with Him. Like He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. That we move with God and we don't pull from God. May our children be filled with His presence, with God Himself. To know the Lord. To experience His goodness and His greatness. All right? And then, I'm watching my time here, okay? So, what time is it, somebody? It's 11:28, all right? So here we go. May you be reminded to give God the glory. And this is where we finish. After it's all said and done in what we do, we learn, mamas learn, daddies learn, all of us learn, we got to trust Him. We trust God. And we follow His promptings to be obedient to the Lord. Isn't it a cycle? It's like a cycle, isn't it? We come around to trust Him, obey Him. Trust Him, obey Him. Trust Him, obey Him. Like that hymn. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And we have to learn that. That as we begin to see those answers come together, and they do, when things are doing fine and when things are not doing fine, when you've got your answers and you don't have your answers, be reminded to give Him the glory. How often should we give Him the glory? Continually. God, I had a horrible week this past week. I'm talking to Him. I'm not using His name. I'm talking to Him. Some people use His name like that. We shouldn't do that. You know, it's just an expression. I'm talking to Him. God, I had a tough time this week. Anybody all had a tough time this week? Or is it just me? Okay, thank you. Thank you. I'm not by myself. Because sometimes we can have some tough times, right? But through it, you learn to praise Him. You know what's the most valuable praise you can bring up to the Father? It's the sacrifice of praise. You know what the sacrifice is? When you don't feel like it, you praise Him anyway. And boy, I've been stretched. Somebody said, well, what's wrong, Pastor Dan? What's wrong? Well, I'm a person like you are. I'm human like you are. Is that okay, everybody? Sometimes people think that preachers, they ought to be superstars. They're superstars. And let me tell you, we're human just like you are. I put on my clothes just like you do. We live life just like you do. But let me tell you, we keep going after God. And we don't give up. We don't give up. All right? Let's keep going. So here we go. This is the final slide. Four takeaways. And then we're going to pray. You see the first one? Grow roots deep down in your soul. You know how we do that? Again, we live, and as we live, things happen. Good things, bad things, hard things, easy things. Things happen. But as we go into those hard, difficult things, we grow roots deep in our soul. We don't get away from God. We stay closer to God, stay with God. Every one of us can say, I've been through some stuff in my life. Amen? I've been through some difficult trials in my life. Have they brought some lessons? Have they brought some answers? Sure they have. Do you know the Lord, even with the Israelites in the Old Testament, he let them go through trials so he could see where they were at. And so they could see what's in their heart. You really don't know what's in your heart until you go through something. Help me out, somebody. You know why? Because it's so easy for us to cover our heart. And that's why we can talk to people and we can say, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. How are you? I'm fine. I'm good. Everything. And they're crying miserably down in the depths of their soul. They're crying miserably. We're good at it. We cover. We're good at it. And we grow roots deep when we go through those difficult times. That we can really be at that place where we can, like that song says, it is well in my soul. Through it all. My eyes are on you. The seas and wind, they know your name. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. It is well. It's not just a song. It's a prayer. Number two, spend time daily in his presence. And that's a discipline. And we can all do it. The whole problem is our busyness. We're too busy. Say busy with me, somebody. We're too busy. And it's not that we're mean, or it's not that that we want to be ugly to God or anything like that. It's just that we fall into a path of busyness that brings neglect of the greatest attention that we should be bringing to our Father. That's why I am a proponent. I believe greatly. Spend time with God early in the morning or you won't spend time with him the rest of the day. I believe it. And we're real good at you know, getting our days going and getting things going. And we got it, you know, our flash here and our flash here. We grab a biscuit and a coffee and here we go. Boom, we're out. That biscuit and that coffee is not going to be at your graveside when you die. Amen, somebody. It's the Lord. Spend time daily in his presence. Number three, reach further in, and there's a little typo there, in knowing God's love. Reach further in knowing God's love. You know how you do that? By reaching out to the unlovely. Reaching out to the ones that it's hard to love. Sometimes Christians can be the best at saying, I don't want to get around those people. Aren't you glad God is not like that? We're to get around all kinds of people and love them and bless them. And just like Jesus did with us. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't do that with us? I don't want to get around those kinds of people. They're too this or they're too that. God, love them. Embrace them. Number four, praise him. And we can do that. Just turn up the praise. We got to be reminded. Remembrance and reverence. Remembrance and reverence. We got to be reminded and to reverence him. Learn to rest in him. This morning, I want you to pray with me. Because we're in serious days. You know, in the past several months, we've had four teenagers that have died in the Mesquite Independent School District through shootings and through an accident. We're in serious times. And we need to be so alive to his promptings and to his spirit of what he wants us to do, because we're living in the greatest day right now to shine for Jesus. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to meet with a teacher at Agnew Middle School, talking to him about how we can begin the Men of Honor and Ladies of Honor program there at Agnew. We already have it at Terry. We already have it at Barry. Now we're going to Agnew. You know what our sights are on? All 8 junior highs. Because we got to grab them while they're young, so when they get into high school, these will be men and young men and young women solid in the things of the Lord. Amen? And we don't give up. Every one of us can make a difference from where we're at. Friday, I wish I had given you this picture to show it up there. But Friday morning, I was at Agnew Junior High. Y'all know where Agnew is? It's not even 5 minutes from here. I was at Agnew Junior High at 7:45 in the morning. School hadn't even started yet. And there were over 200 junior high kids in the bleachers. They're ready for their FCA program and listening to their coach preach a message about the paralytic and praying the Lord would forgive them of their sins to follow Christ. That gets me excited. I start doing somersaults. I start doing cartwheels. I start running around the whole room, running on the wall because the gravity can't hold my body down, because I'm running so fast around the room that I start running on the ceiling because the gravity can't hold my body down. I'm running so fast. Did you see it? It already happened. You didn't see it because it happened so fast. But I get that excited. He's doing it. And we need to move with the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just want to thank you for this time and for this Mother's Day. And Lord, we want to tell you this morning, we don't give up. We continue to pray. Your word that says, pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We pray and we don't give up. And I know we've got a lot of praying mothers in here, Lord. Praying dads, praying moms. Lord, let us continue. And some of us, Lord, that maybe we've already seen answers, and others that are still waiting, wherever it is, oh God, we just tell you we don't give up and we put our trust in you. Let our families be strengthened in you. Let our families be rooted in you. Let them dwell in you, oh God. Let your presence move mightily in them. Amen.